smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Coming off of the holiday, I'm sure that many of you have a new family member in your homes, and that would be a small puppy, or we hope a rescue dog. Hi, I'm Joanne Green, and welcome to the Good Dog Podcast, where today we're going to be talking about a kid's guide to dog care. My guest is Jan Wall. Welcome, Jan.
Hi.
And Jan has a website entitled How to Love Your Dog, A Kid's Guide to Dog Care. Now, I just discovered this on my own, browsing around, surfing around on the internet. So tell us about the genesis of your site, Jan, and what your goals are.
Well, the site started 10 years ago. I'm a former teacher. I taught all levels of elementary kids and special ed. And I would teach humane education classes. Humane education is often in the frameworks for the schools, teaching kids empathy and understanding of people. And in many cases, you can use dogs, but they can be a good vehicle to teach those things. And so I would go around to schools and teach them on my vacations. I would teach lessons in my own classroom, and I wrote a curriculum that fit into the schools and would team up with other teachers. They would take my class for something, and I would go to their class. My dogs would be in my classes with me, and we would teach these classes. And in 1998, I developed some health issues, and I had to leave work. And I was really kind of lost. I wanted to teach these things to students. And so I got a computer, and I started putting the lessons I had already written onto a website. I had never made a website before. I learned while I did it.
Well, you know, I have to say it's such an incredible service that you provide, because we all know, those of us who've raised kids and those of us who've had dogs, that the kinds of lessons one learns, and certainly a child can learn about responsibility and about empathy and about nurturing and caring for another being, are invaluable. And you actually provide a context for how to teach kids in this regard. So kudos to you. I think it's a great effort.
Thank you. It's a lot of fun. And the biggest thing I realized is that instead of reaching 30 or 40 kids a day at a school, I'm reaching close to 3,000 every day through the internet. So it's very rewarding.
So what are some of the lessons that you teach?
Some of the overall lessons, well, we have a lot of different categories. It really goes through just about anything you can think of. We cover a new dog. We cover shopping for that new dog, going to rescues, going to shelters, explaining what that's about. We talk about the dog's first day. Through teaching someone how to care for their dog, the lessons kind of just weave in there. If you're teaching a child how to handle a new dog, they start learning about empathy, because you talk about how the dog needs to be handled, and that the dog can feel pain just like you do. And when you teach a kid to feed the dog, you feed them because they're hungry. And they start to learn that they have some of the same feelings. So we really go through everything from getting a new dog through grooming and training and puppy basics to overpopulation and laws of the community, older dogs, and all the way through the death of your dog.
Safety is a big issue in all of this. And what kinds of things do you teach kids? And I also, my other question is, the kids are obviously in a constant state of development and evolution themselves. So what you can teach a 6, 7, 8-year-old is very different than what you're teaching a 10, 11, 12-year-old, right?
Right, right. Well, I have a section on safety, and we talk about how to greet a dog and you know, how you should stand for a strange dog and whether you should even touch a strange dog or not. Things like just not bothering it. Any strange dog, if there's no one around, safety in the household, like not crowding your dog. For instance, a toddler might be a dog in the house, and a toddler, if left alone, which they shouldn't be, left alone in the house, they need to know not to push that dog into a corner, because any dog when they're in a panic, can lash out. And then kids can learn to help their dogs at any age. And I think that sometimes parents get a dog and expect that their child will take care of it, and that's the way they can learn responsibility. But actually, there are specific things that, that kids can do at different ages. And if you go through the list on my website, I have by age what kids at that age can be generally expected to be able to handle, all the way from age 4 up to 15. A 4-year-old, for instance, you can expect that child to be able to pet your dog. It may sound like that's not anything special, but for a young child to know that it's important that dogs like to be petted and that good touching is a good skill to have, that's something that a 4-year-old can do. A 4-year-old can take a soft brush and brush your dog, and a 4-year-old can give your dog a treat by in his palm or dropping it on the ground for the dog to get. And I just go through the different ages. At 7, by the time the child is 7, they should be able to take a regular brush and brush the dog. They can start teaching the dog simple tricks. And with this list on here, this is one of my favorite pages because I think it makes it easy for a child or an adult to come here and say, okay, what can an 8-year-old do? Are there things they shouldn't be doing? At a certain age, the child shouldn't be taking the dog by the leash and going out for a walk by themselves. So things like that.
Sounds good. What are some of the simple tricks that you help kids train their dogs to do?
Well, we teach things like shake hands, which usually is the first thing that they learn because the kids want to touch the dog and they put their hand out. And some dogs will just do that naturally in a submissive position. So shaking hands, rolling over for a puppy, actually that one I would save till older, but dogs can learn. The basic obedience can be tricks to kids. For instance, sitting is a basic obedience, but letting the kids teach them to sit is also a trick. You call it a trick.
Right, and
it's
see,
a trick.
And what are, it seems to me that there are so many benefits to this for the child, too, learning that just that not only are you a student, but you can be a teacher. You know, that feeling of empowerment.
It's very important. Yes, very important. I did therapy with my dogs at a hospital with kids who had cancer. And these are kids that are completely, really don't have any control. They're at the hospital. They're getting chemo. They have lost their hair. They have no control at all. And when I would put my dog with the kids and show them how to feed the dog and how to make the dog turn around or make the dog lay down by teaching it a trick, it was amazing. That empowerment, you could see it. You could just see it when the dog would do what they wanted to. They got control of something.
Now, Jan, you also have another website called therapydogs.net. Tell us about that.
Well, I've been doing therapy with my dogs for 17 years, and I also test the dogs at a hospital here in San Diego. And I wanted to have something where people could go to, if they wanted their dogs to be therapy dogs. And actually, anyone who wants their dog to be well-behaved and well-socialized can get a lot from this site, because I talk about socialization and how to get a dog used to the environment in different settings. And it is therapydogs.net, and it talks about how to get started in therapy and what national organizations there are and things like that, and also has teaching your dog tricks and concepts about whether dogs should wear costumes and things like that.
Let me guess, they shouldn't.
Well, right. I don't think that the average pet should be wearing clothes. On my website, I do talk about small dogs, very small dogs, that might be in winter areas that maybe they would want to put a sweater on it for a little while to go outside if they need to go out for a minute. But generally, I don't think dogs should wear clothes. In a hospital setting where it's a therapy dog, for instance, if someone is in the hospital for 8 to 10 weeks and I'm taking my dog there every week and I'm taking pictures of the patient with the dog, if you have a different hat on the dog, it gives a different a sense of time for the patient when they look back over those pictures. It doesn't look like the same day.
So basically what you're saying is if you're going to put any sort of clothing on your dog, there has to be a good reason.
Yes, exactly.
Gotcha. Now, what is it that makes one dog a good therapy dog and another dog someone who probably should not be brought into a therapeutic setting?
Well, a lot of it has to do with genetics. You have to start with a dog with a good temperament. And if a dog does not have a genetic good temperament, I think you can train them to behave well, but I don't think you can take that out of them. You know, starting with a good line and good breeding, you can work with that and mold that and socialize it. Socializing is one of the most important things that I think that you can do with a dog. And socializing is getting your dog out in different situations. I have a checklist on both websites that people can download and check off. Every time I get a puppy, I print out this form. And for the first year, I check off every time we do something on the list. And these are things like meeting different people of different ethnicities, going to different sites, different places in your city, the park, the mall, the piers, any place that you might go where there are children and adults and people on skateboards and bicycles and different sounds, hearing pots and pans and vacuum cleaners and fire engine sirens and things like that. And these are things you wouldn't want your puppy to hear the first month. You do this gradually over the first year or 6 months and get your dog out there so that in 2 years you don't have a dog that's jumping up at the window barking at every leaf that blows by the house. The more socialized they are, the more you're going to have a well-behaved dog.
My favorite thing about doing the Good Dog Podcast every week is that I learn all the things, all the mistakes not to make the next time around.
Yeah.
when you don't have that checklist, you know, a few things definitely fall through the cracks. And while Lulu, for instance, does beautifully with people of all kinds, she has an issue with dogs who are larger than she is. Mm-hmm. And had I known about this earlier on, I could have begun to socialize her in those ways.
Yeah, and it's just so important. And little dogs going to puppy, any dog going to puppy classes. I love that there are puppy classes younger than 4 months old so that dogs can play together. And sometimes they separate the big dogs and the little dogs just so they don't get squashed. But for the most part, if they start hanging around other puppies, they learn all kinds of things besides socialization, bite inhibition, and just good behavior skills. Another dog is not going to let them get away with bad behavior.
Let's come around full circle to where we began, which is that many families, individuals, at this particular time of the year are very excited because they have a new dog at home. And for many people, there are children involved as well. So what kinds of advice can you give families about how to help everyone involved, both the kids and the dog, begin this whole new relationship?
Well, I had experience with that this weekend. At our holiday party, a friend of ours brought their 11-week-old puppy. And I was a little concerned because at this time of year, there's so much going on. There's so many people and loud noises and different smells and things. And whether it's a holiday or a regular day, bringing a new dog into the home is can be a scary experience for the dog, and it can be for a child. With a puppy, they need to be protected a little bit from all these strange things, but yet not coddled. I wanted to hold this puppy really badly for about 4 hours, but I waited until the very end when people had stopped. Everybody was picking it up, and they really need to just walk around and explore. Let the puppy, you know, smell different things and go in different rooms. But they also have to watch out for, you know, these dogs that aren't housebroken. If it's an older dog, the kids need to stand back and just observe the dog, let it breathe. Not crowding isn't good for a new dog in the household. On the website, there's a page called the first day. We talk about puppy proofing the house. When a new dog comes in the house, you have to be careful of cords and make sure your trash is put away and things like that. And the kids can help with that kind of thing, having a couple toys ready for your new dog, having a place for him to sleep. It's about preparing for a new dog. And the kids can all be involved in this. But for the most part, it's the parent that's going to lead the child, and that's how the child learns.
And the other thing that I would add is that even when you have a young child who cannot fully assume responsibility for the dog, it's not a bad idea to include them in the process where you're the one who's responsible, but the kid is a part of that routine. So, for instance, if you feed your dog at the same time every morning, you can say to your son or daughter, come on, it's time to feed the dog.
Yeah.
And they can get the bowl, or they can go out and, you know, they can climb up on a ladder and pour the dog food into the bowl, so that they begin to see that when you have a dog, this is part of what you do. It's not just that mom takes care of it and, you know, you get to play with the dog, but that this is a piece of having a dog is the responsibility.
Right, and just like anything else, the parent's modeling the behavior for the child.
Always.
And that's how they learn.
Once again, let me give you the websites to go to. LoveYourDog.com is Jan Wall's website, which is How to Love Your Dog, A Kid's Guide to Dog Care. And then her other site, TherapyDogs.net, a resource center for handlers of therapy dogs. Jan, thanks so much for giving us all this great information in the holiday season.
Well, thank you. You're very welcome. I enjoyed it.
Well, I asked you to submit jokes about dogs. From Venice, California is Gary Steinborn. Congratulations. Gary's a sculptor and a cartoonist, and if you check out his work at veniceclay.com, you will find some very cool dog sculptures. I'll share one of the jokes he sent in. So this beagle is really smart, and he learns to read. He picks up a copy of Darwin's Voyage of the Beagle and thinks it's a story about dogs. After he starts to take in Darwin's concepts, he gets offended by the idea that he evolved from a wild, lower form of canine. So he chews up the book in a bit of a frenzy and ends up sitting on top of Darwin's shredded-up thesis. Realizing the trouble he'll be in when his owner comes home, he thinks to himself, well, I'm going to be in trouble for trashing the book. But at least I finally found a position on evolutionary biology I'm comfortable with. It's a joke. The sites that we talked about on today's episode of Good Dog were therapydogs.net and loveyourdog.com. My guest was Jan Wall. I'm Joanne Green. Thanks so much for listening. As always, I love your feedback, so please send an email to gooddog@smarterpodcasts.com.